another edition of Registered Ear Offenders, starring Chris Z and Sal Rodriguez. We're off to a rough start, Sal.
Well, why didn't you let the intro music play? That's some awesome because intro music that we procured for the show.
Wasn't playing. Now it's coming back. All right. That's our crack sound tech, Nick. And when I say crack, I mean he's on crack.
Cracked out.
No, but apparently we are being introed by Charles Bukowski. Is that who that is?
Nice.
Yeah. Jeremy loves Bukowski, so we got a lot of clips of him in here.
Just in case anyone has met somebody special and was feeling optimistic, we played that clip for you to let you know that all love comes to an end sooner rather than later. Enjoy it while it lasts, but don't delude yourself. 800-893-9562, 800-893-9562. That's our number. Feel free to call anytime. Join in with what we're talking about. Man, Sal, something is in the air today.
Yeah, I'm wearing my skinny jeans today. I wear skinny jeans in fat man sizes to steal one of your jokes.
Thank you. Yes, please. By all means, if you're going to steal jokes, steal them from me.
I steal them from you, but then I credit you.
So Nick is in an unusually good mood.
Because he's going to be moving out of his house and starting his own life as a man.
He seems particularly cognizant of the world around him.
Oh, yeah, I've been in a better mood lately, so yeah.
Why is that, Nick?
I don't know. I think it's because the weather's changing. I was, like, tired of the heat.
Yeah, I
saw him crossing the street on my way here, and his head was bobbing, like he was, but he didn't have any earphones in, so he was clearly moving to the sound of his own, what do they call it, marching to the sound of his own drum.
If you can bop your head while walking through the streets of downtown Los Angeles, you're either very happy or on drugs.
And I, too, am in a full moon, Sal. That's what I call a good mood, because I'm in them so rarely that I call them full moons.
Well, you were treated like a celebrity last night. You had a great show. You got paid some wonderful cash to perform at, what is it, Harrah's Casino?
Harrah's Casino in San Diego. I lived like a king for 16 hours. The drinks were cheap. The show went well. I don't know what more to say. It was a cake gig.
Well, there's only one thing that could top it, and that is that did you get laid from a hot cocktail waitress?
I will tell you this. The mean age of the women there was late 40s, early 50s.
But you know, we're talking like a hot late 40s or a not hot late 40s?
We're talking about a casino late 40s, early 50s, which means, in appearance-wise, late 50s, early 60s.
Even all the cocktail waitresses?
That's the weirdest thing. You know, people, I think of Vegas whenever they hear about casinos. They don't realize there's casinos, you know this, in Wyoming, Montana, all those places, Indian casinos. But they're nothing like the Tropicana, the Luxor. I mean, I think what happened is they opened, every other casino outside of Vegas opened. The waitresses applied for the job, got the job, and maybe joined a union or something and intend to work there until the day they die. It's just like stewardesses. Because I remember when I was a kid, stewardesses were hot and they were tight and they were fit. And now those are the same stewardesses are on the planes, but they're not giving up that job. They got benefits, they got stock options, and you go on there and you want to help her find her seat.
Well, you're disappointed now when you go on a plane and the flight attendants are gay men now.
There's a lot of that too, yeah. What do they call them? No, that's why they call them flight attendants.
Flight attendants, not stewardess. That is an oppressive term like secretary.
But I guess, yeah, at first it was all females. And as men joined the ranks, they suddenly realized we have to, you know, make a more versatile, adaptable term.
Versatile, adaptable. Yeah, the term flight attendant instead of, you could say steward. You could say steward, stewardess. I don't see a problem with that.
You paused for a second. Was it because I used so many adjectives that sounded so gay and
what
versatile
adjectives?
And
yeah, you said versatile. You said like, you know, top and bottom and all that.
Well, Sal, this is something is in the air today. Jeremy, the overlord of Skid Row Studios, has just walked in. He's accompanied by is that Giselle Bundchen? I think.
Who is that? Do you know who that is?
I do not. I wish I did.
Giselle, you know what? Jeremy's a stud. He's always got some hot Latin-looking woman with him. How does he do this? Is it because he owns a radio station? Is that how it works? You own a radio station, you become a big stud.
It's like he walks through downtown with a wicker basket and just plucks hot girls and puts them in there for...
He does. He brings them in here and he says, this is my empire. So hail Jeremy.
Yeah, whatever. Write a book, dude. I'll be the first one to buy it. Please. And hey, Sal, you know what? We got a big show, man. We better jump into that. We better tease the show.
Well, you know, we got a new segment called Why Not?
That's right.
And it's essentially we talk about various things that are going on in the world today. And then we give our take as far as what would be better. How would we improve on either that process or technology? Then, of course, we have our confessions. partnered with our amends, so you can confess on the air and then make a potential amends. And then we have a very special guest. He is an actor and a writer, cartoonist, very talented individual, voice impressionist. Max Cook will be joining us today. And then we have also a segment called When We Peaked, which it talks about various moments in our lives when things were at their height. And then, of course, Sal's weekly rant today, brought to you by a very special sponsor. So that's what's going on the show today, Chris.
Oh, okay.
What, did I put you to sleep or something?
No, it's, I just... You spiked the volleyball, but it's Chris is
still at Harrah's Casino hitting on a cocktail waitress while he's sitting here, apparently.
Well, I'm reliving the glory from last night. My When We Peaked is going to be last night. It was about 12 hours ago. I remember it like it was yesterday, because it was. Hey, let's get into that. Why not, Sal? Now, just to be clear, this is some ideas that we've often wondered why they haven't come up yet. They seem so common sense. You know, they're not outlandish ideas, but for some reason they haven't been implemented.
Okay, well then can I just start with my idea?
Go ahead.
My idea is, you know, I would imagine that if you could transport Henry Ford to the present day, and you were to say, Henry Ford, look at our top-of-the-line vehicles, and you will show him the power windows, you will show him the heated seats, you would show him the CD player, the music player, the MP3 player, the climate control within the vehicle. You show him all these wonderful things that a vehicle has, and I think Henry Ford would then look at you and say, this is all wonderful, where's the bathroom? I think it's about time that our vehicles come equipped with some sort of, at least a urinal, a place for us to go to the bathroom while we are stuck in traffic, or maybe the next service station is not another 30, 40 miles, you got to go really bad. I think that we have the technology today to implement a system in our vehicle where we can go to the bathroom as we drive. The time has come. Why not?
So it would sort of look maybe like a condom. You'd probably pull it out of the dashboard, adhere it to your penis.
Or vagina, depending on if you have a penis or vagina. If it were like a vagina, it would have an appearance of an oxygen mask, and a woman can put it on her vagina and then you relieve herself as she's driving, or a man could just relieve himself in the tube. So it'd be similar and look probably to a catheter.
I hope I'm not mistaken for a chauvinist here, but I can't see this working for women. Have you ever seen how much work goes into a woman urinating?
But a woman pees sitting down. So actually, arguably, it may even be easier for a woman. Or how about this? How about we simplify and you can lift up your car seat as you would a toilet lid, and boom, there becomes your porta potty.
I like that. Why can't they just insert a kind of a ceramic, you know, leading to a drain? It doesn't even really have to be a whole piping system, just literally a downward facing pipe.
Well, no, I imagine also if you want to be environmental about it, you urinate into the tube and then it goes right into the radiator and gets burned up.
Oh my God, I didn't even think about that.
So how about a radiator that runs on urine? How about that?
That reminds me of war games. No, not war games, sorry, Red Dawn.
What happened? The Russians used urine?
Yeah, remember the kids from Red Dawn before the Russians had invaded? He tells him, piss in the radiator. It was, who's the dearly departed beloved actor? Former stud dancer.
Swayze,
that's him.
Patrick Swayze.
Yeah, he tells the kid to piss in the radiator.
You give me a hard time about referencing old films, and look at you.
It's weird. Sal has a blank spot. Like, were you in a coma from like 8 to 18 or something?
Yes, I was getting into a lot of trouble and didn't watch a lot of movies
Sal
at that time.
Sal frequently references monster movies and stuff. But
Chris, what's your why not?
Oh, mine or why not? Here's the first one I got. No more consecutive terms for politicians, be they senators, congressmen, presidential candidates. If you're campaigning, when you're supposed to have a seat in the Senate, you're campaigning on my dollar. And I feel like you're doing me a double injustice in that aside from not doing the job I'm paying you to do, you're actually doing a separate job on my dollar. So not only are you not doing, you understand what I'm saying? You're offending me in two ways. You're violating our contract in two ways.
No, I understand. And essentially what you're doing is you're looking for a new job while you have your existing job. For example, if Nick were to say right now to Jeremy, hey, Jeremy, I can't come in on Friday because I'm going to be applying at this other radio station. And yeah. Jeremy would be like, what the hell are you talking about? No, you can't do that while you're working here. And yet we have a system in place where you can apply for another job while you're in your existing job and do it publicly.
Yeah, I remember a couple of years ago, I worked at a restaurant went defunct eventually, Universal City. And one time this one employee just became a bitch, man. He's always been a nice guy, but he just became a real hassle, real problematic. And one day he says right in front of the boss, he's like, man, this job ain't cutting it. I think I'm gonna try for another job. He says this in front of the general manager. And the general manager says, okay, I'll save you the trouble. Go ahead and you can get started today. Take care, bye-bye.
And that's what
Damn.
We ought to do.
Damn.
Yeah, Nick says that's that's fucked up.
Nah, this is the best studio right here, man. I'm lucky that I got this spot.
No, Nick is gonna rise with this jet airplane or sink with the ship. That's right. That's what Nick is
doing. Yeah, exactly. Go one of two ways.
Much, yeah, I think he speaks for all of us, though, to be perfectly honest.
This is very much, years ago on the Howard Stern Show, I don't know if you ever saw this, they found a couple people who were like indigent, just in bad places in life. And they brought them, I think, to Vegas, and they gave them $50,000. But here was the provisos. They had to bet one bet all in. So these people stood to make either, you know, a small fortune or lose everything. And I don't remember how it turned out for everybody, but I do remember seeing some poor person lose everything, man, lose their shot at a new lease on life, you know?
What the hell does this have to do with anything?
We talk about the show. That's how I feel about this show.
I thought we were still on Why Not.
It may not seem like it, but I give a great deal of time and energy to this show.
I agree, you do. Chris has a tremendous, if there's any would-be employers out there of any avenue, Chris has a tremendous work ethic. I mean, I consider myself so lazy. Chris has a tremendous work ethic, and I learn from him.
If this doesn't work, I lay down and die. This is my last stand, man. I'm in my late 30s. There is no more second chances. There, you know, I'm tired, man.
I don't think you're in your late 30s yet. What are you, 36?
36.
Oh,
yeah.
You're 36. That is not late 30s.
And a half.
No, you're still kind of in your mid 30s. I, at 39, am in my late 30s. I'm in my late 30s. I'm at the twilight of my 30s. You are not.
Why don't we stop using and a half as adults?
You just used it. I never used it.
I know, but it's not common.
Yeah, you're not 9 and a half. But so essentially your why not is you want term limits, essentially, not just on the president, but on everybody.
Right. And let me give you another example. Right now, forgive me, I have a very superficial understanding of this because I've been on the road for a little while. But there's a big summit going on in the United Nations, and a lot of leaders from the Arab world are over there. And the country as a whole is shocked that Obama isn't making time to meet with even one of them. And he tells his campaign spokespeople simply said, "Oh, he's the president. He's just too busy." Meanwhile, he goes on some dopey morning show. I think it was The View.
He was on The View, yes. Yeah. With Michelle.
Right. I mean, he's out there having fun. What are you, a celebrity now? Or are you the goddamn president? And my guess is that he's doing that because he doesn't want to put himself in the precarious predicament of, if he goes there, he meets with these people, he's going to have to take a position on some things. He's going to open himself to criticism from the right. Or maybe from the left, who knows, you know, but by doing this, like, oh, I can't be there. Like, no, it could be, why is he doing that? Because he's campaigning for a second term.
So what I gather then from your statement is that Chris Z now votes for Romney Ryan.
Absolutely not. Oh, God, it's fucking, he reminds me of, remember when the Karate Kid, there was that tall blonde stud.
Yes,
he made Ralph Macchio's life miserable.
Yeah, he was one of the guys in the Cobra Kai.
That guy grew up and became Mitt Romney. You know what I mean? Just picking up. These guys are bimbos, man. And this, I don't want to get too political here, but let's be honest. Mitt Romney was his own party's last choice. They chose him by default. So the gall of some people to come up to you and tell you that for a better America, you need to pick the guy who was number 8 on the list. The guy who got passed over for Sarah Palin, for Christ's sake. Anyway.
Chris, I don't think we've ever been so political on Registered Ear Offenders, ever.
Like I said, Sal, sink or swim, man. We're either going to go to the top or we're going to sink to the bottom. So we're going to do it. We're going to know we gave our best effort. We were honest with people. We spoke with conviction.
Well, let's go ahead and get into our confession segment. Why don't we then?
Let's do that. You go ahead and take it first. I okay. Forgot mine for the moment.
Did you forget it? Okay, my confession is this, and this has to do with the city of Los Angeles. I used to be a marathon runner, much to Chris's disbelief when he jokes about me, but I used to run marathons in my 20s, and I did have the pleasure of running the Los Angeles Marathon twice. And in the 2000 Los Angeles Marathon, it was pouring rain. It was tremendous pouring downpour all throughout the marathon. Now, one of the things you do if you're running a marathon, especially if you're running at my level, which was just under 4 hours, you got to stop to use the bathroom sometimes. There's porta potties all along the way. Now, obviously, these guys that are coming in first place, that were coming in at a couple hours, they don't have to stop and use the bathroom. They're only running it in 2 hours. But as soon as you get beyond the 3 hour mark, you're going to have to stop to use the bathroom, most likely. Well, the good news is it was pouring rain so much, pouring rain so hard. I said, well, what's the point of stopping to pee at a porta potty? So I just pissed myself as I ran the Los Angeles Marathon. And I think maybe my amends accompanying amends has to do with the city of Los Angeles. I'm sorry for the offensive thing that I did, but I did finish the marathon in under 4 hours, full of piss, full of rain. That is my confession today and my subsequent amends to the city of Los Angeles.
Nice. I too have a confession, Sal, which is, of course, the way this works.
You better.
So that shouldn't surprise
you. Or you're fired.
Yeah. When I was a tad bit younger, I was in a relationship. And I was an entirely different person than I am now. I was a hedonist. I pursued pleasure and nothing else. I don't know what happened to change me and make me the person I am today, but I was in a relationship and I went on a little trip. And while I was on that trip, not only did I cheat on my girlfriend, but I cheated on the girl I cheated on my girlfriend with. And the person that I cheated on my mistress with was married.
Your mistress? What is this, an episode of Dynasty?
And 10 years older. I know. What is it? It really does sound like a telenovela or something, man. I'm sorry. Now, is this confessions or the greatest time of my life?
This is not a when we peaked. Oh, this is a confession.
It seems like the lines have been blurred between confessions and when we peaked.
I think all the lines of all of our segments have been blurred together.
I don't know what I did, what mojo I was exuding, but I was in Colorado at the time. My girlfriend was back in Florida. And there was this girl who was married. She was the sister of the guy I was visiting. And she had a husband, and basically nobody thought anything of it because I was 17 or whatever. So we'd like, I'll go with her to get a pizza or something, And we never fully connected, unfortunately. But there's that. And in fact, there was actually some times when I was concerned that I may not have enough bullets left in the chamber to do business with everyone involved.
This happened when you were 17?
Yeah.
Now, for those of you who have stayed tuned to our show and been avid listeners, you will notice that a lot of things happened to Chris when he was 17.
It was a hell of a year.
Yes,
man.
It was. It just seems like it's been all downhill from there.
It really did. after about 21 years old, I don't think I can say one positive thing about my life. I went off to college and that was fun, but I didn't have as much fun as most people do in college because I had been clowning around for so long that when I got to college, I resolved to take it very seriously. And I did. I studied hard and, I took karate and stuff, but I took very little time out to, I never joined a fraternity. I never did any of that that nonsense. And then right when I got out of college, I got mired in stand-up comedy. So that began the precipitous downward spiral that is my life.
But you say downward spiral, and yet you had an awesome time last night, and they treated you like a king. What right. did I do last night? I think I cleaned... You know what I had to do? I had to clean up cat vomit on the carpet. That's what I did last night. You were on stage like a king. I was scrubbing cat vomit with a spray bottle that I got from the 99-cent store. That's my life.
Those cats love you. I have no love in my life as a result. Because you know what happens, man? When you're in stand-up comedy and you're serious about it, you keep saying no. You keep saying no to every party invitation you got because you're out of town performing. You keep saying no to old friends who want to visit you or want you to visit them. You don't see your family and friends as often as you like. And it's like that old adage about the girl, the girl at the dance who thinks she's too good for everybody. And eventually, when enough guys have asked her and she says no, guys stop asking. And that's how you end up going, Jesus Christ, it's Friday and I don't have one friend to call.
Is that why nobody invites you to parties anymore?
Yeah, exactly. I have one friend. I have Sal and I have Josh on the East Coast.
You have more friends than that. I disagree.
I honestly, if I was to throw a party right now, I would invite you and maybe some of the people from Skid Row so that I have incidental contact with, like Drew and Gus. But
I think our listeners are slitting their wrists as we speak. I think this is probably the most depressing show. We open up with Charles Bukowski. You talk about how your life has gone downhill, how you only have one friend. That's it. Our listeners, thank you. And good night.
We are the opposite of rappers, aren't we? Because their whole thing is to build themselves up, even though it's their first hit, they're like, I got too many cars, I don't know which one to drive, and so many bitches.
So what you're saying is that you would never invite the camera crew from Cribs into your apartment, is what you're saying?
Oh, God, no. I wouldn't invite friends into my my apartment.
I've only been to Chris's place once, and he has never invited me back since, but I think it's because I raid your refrigerator or something like that. I think I looked in your refrigerator. I was like, let's see what's in here.
No, the refrigerator is, I think, the only thing I'm not embarrassed to show.
How about your roommate's room? I did go into Chris's roommate's room. I glanced in. I walked by, I glanced in the roommate's room, and I said, whoa.
Yeah, I should have known something was amiss because my roommate recently cleaned his room.
Wow. His roommate is a, I would call him not a hoarder, but a clutterer.
Yeah, exactly. Like I wonder if when he gets home and he undresses, he must undress like it's 1,000 degrees. Like he just takes his, rips his shirt off and throws it to the floor and kicks his pants off. Like everything is boom on the floor. There's plenty of counter space. I don't know what possesses a person to just, and not even like in an organized fashion, just, you know, kick the shoes off, you know? But at one time, this is funny, for several months, there was actually like, like a cobweb, like a mass of cobwebs in one of the corners. And then some big, like a butterfly or a moth had gone and got stuck in the cobweb. And that sat there for months. A dead, large insect just sat there, man. I mean, like, how does that not bother you?
So your apartment starts to look like the Munster's house.
Yeah, and unfortunately, we're in a situation where he's kind of I'm the tenant, so to speak. Like, I sublet from him, so I'm really not in a position to tell him, you know, what's what. It's a rent-controlled apartment. He got me in on it. So we're not equals in the deal. So
wait, are you saying you're not on the lease?
Correct.
Wow, you have no protection at all.
Right, other than the fact that we've known each other for years.
You do have some protection, though. I think according to the laws of the city, he can't just throw you out. You have proof that you've been there. Yeah. You can show that to the sheriffs who come to remove you. You can show your bills.
Shit, now you're scaring me. We started off on such a positive tailwind behind us.
You know what? I really hope that our guests can bring some more joy to this show. Why don't we go ahead and bring out our guest, Chris? What do you say?
Absolutely, man. I can't wait to have this guy on. I went to great lengths to get him. And by that, I mean I combed Facebook. I found several people by his name. I found another Bowler Hat Productions, which is his production company. But I got real lucky. One day he was there, and he was so gracious about coming on the show. Can't wait to have him. Let's avoid any further delay.
Let me tell you something, and this is the truth to our listeners, and I would like to have our guests know this. Chris has been talking about this guest for a long time. Ever since we started this show, Chris has been talking about having this guest on. So it is our pleasure to introduce, he's an actor, writer, cartoonist. He's performed professionally since he was 12. He's currently a series regular on Nickelodeon's Kung Fu Panda, Legends of Awesomeness. He also voices Master Mantis and countless other characters on the show. He also voiced a younger version of Mantis in Kung Fu Panda, Secrets of the Furious Five. Other voice work includes popular characters from the Outlaw series of video games, Shrek Super Slam, Serenity, and countless commercials and radio spots, including the voice of the annoying flowers for the 2009 Teleflora Super Bowl spot. Ladies and gentlemen, yeah, ladies and gentlemen, Max Cook.
You guys are bitching about your lives. Listen, you don't want to come to me for joy, I'll tell you that much.
No, hold on a second. I've seen your videos, and I assume they're filmed at your house. You have a nice house. You have two pugs who love you.
He has a wife? I believe he has. Aren't you a married man, Max?
Dude, my wife is hot. You wouldn't believe it. She's flat but in the chest area, but she has a remarkable backside. She works out 2 times a day, and she's a professional woman. She has beautiful sky blue eyes. It'll take you out at the knees. I'm very fortunate. And I show up here at Skid Row Studios. This place is badass. There's a disco ball over your setup. I'm in here 2 minutes. I have a beer in my hand. I'm looking at pictures of Hunter Thompson and Bukowski. I'm sitting with you clowns. What are you worried about?
Porn stars will be blowing you in a couple of minutes. That's how good it gets here.
There has been fisting in this studio, man.
Are you serious?
Yeah, this is a very avant-garde radio network.
There is a sex talk show, and there was actual fisting occurring.
Oh, my goodness. I've seen, like, up to the wrist, but does it go up halfway up the forearm?
I don't know if you've been in a toy store recently. They have those Incredible Hulk fists. They were using those.
No.
They were fisting with those.
I've never seen the fist, but I have seen the Hitler salute. Have you seen that one where the fingers are extended and it looks very much like a Heil Hitler?
Wait, you're talking about what they use for fisting, the little thing?
I have seen a sexual aid that consists of from about the elbow. You know, I don't know what it is.
Oh, it's a fake hand and arm.
Kind of polymer, yeah, I guess. Or, you know, it begins about the elbow, continues to the fingertips, but for some reason it's in an open-handed.
Yes.
So either it's something for serving for somebody who lost their arm in the war, or it's sexual aid for somebody who likes getting fisted.
Think of the long-term damage of having that happen lot to you.
That's just not...
It's a blown-out booty hole.
To each his own, but really, there has to come a point when you go, you know what, my soft tissue wasn't meant to be penetrated by a glass bottle. You know, I mean, I see some stuff on the internet, and I go, don't these people realize they're going to be in diapers by the time they're 40?
Max, tell us about some of the work that you've done. For example, YouTube. you are practically a YouTube celebrity. A lot of your videos have what? What's the biggest number that some of your videos have?
There's a few that are viral. Max Cook meets Tony Soprano has like 250,000, I guess, which is nothing really these days.
Well, if you compare it to Opam Gangnam Style, you know, if you compare it to that, of course not. But hey, that's a great number too. And that's the first, my introduction to Max was when Chris showed me your videos and you had the Tony Soprano. Yeah. And I think you had one of this Tony Soprano talking to Christopher.
Right, right.
Can you give us some of that here today, Max? Would that put, can we put you on the spot?
Let me tell you something. I'm fucking happy to be here. But you have to realize something. Sal used to go out with this chick who broke his fucking heart. And that's how he was introduced to Sopranos. This fucking cunt. She killed him. But at least she lent him 3 seasons on the DVD.
Dude, I swear, if I wasn't looking at you, I would not believe. That's my, and you know what really blew me away? As fantastic as that Tony Soprano is, I've never seen anybody imitate Christopher Moltisanti.
Fucking A. I'm fucking here right now, you motherfuckers, and I want another fucking beer.
And the writing is fantastic on that bit.
Oh, well, thank you. Well, yeah, I got real deep, deep into that show to the point where it was a sickness. No, I mean, it was... It took over me and possessed me like a demon, you know, and I had no choice but to make those videos. And, you know, you have to realize when you look at all of my videos, they're terribly done because I'm doing them all by myself. I have no technical prowess whatsoever. I'm editing on a shitty Windows editing thing. Everyone's like, you got to get a green screen. You got to get a this. You got to get a that. Fuck you, what I gotta get. I don't know what I'm doing. I just want to be the artistic idiot and let someone else do all that stuff. I need a Nick.
But you went to great lengths. I think you're being modest because when I watched your Dexter video, you went to, great lengths to simulate the beginning of Dexter.
Yeah,
I haven't seen the Dexter one. Do you do a Michael C. Hall?
I need you to watch it, Sal. I hope you tune in soon and don't cross me or I'll get you on my table.
How did you even, scope out apartments to find,
That was my old apartment. And it just so happened to have a lot of palm trees around it.
Yeah, and in, you know, in the original Dexter opening, he does the thing, he's on the second floor, right? He walks out of his apartment to begin his day, and Max simulates that as well. The eggs with the ketchup, I mean, everything, man.
Oh, and the whole starting sequence with the breakfast and all?
Yeah, and that's before the actual sketch even begins.
Only you're doing it with your, like, own shitty plates and stuff, but...
So where is your flat-chested wife during all this?
That was so mean. Why did I have to say that about my beautiful wife? I'll tell you why. Because even though she has little boobies, I have become a little boob man. I just think the nipples are so much more sensitive, and there's just this beautiful pinkness to her nipples. She's very generous with her beauty.
You know, I have to agree with you, Max, because a lot of attention is paid in our society about the size of the breast.
Correct.
But it's more important about the nipple. It's all about the nipple, as far as I'm concerned.
Absolutely, Sal. My wife's nipples are extraordinary. They're very sensitive. And that, when you're getting her going, that's when you're getting going more. I've been with big titty broads. They've been great, whatever. Sloppy, big, never fake. Mostly Zoftig Jewish girls. But but no, man, I'm all about the ass anyway. But yeah, no, my wife is ridiculously hot.
Your wife is turning me on. I've never even seen her.
Hey, before we get too sidetracked here, guys,
I am erect right now.
I did want to talk about you did a video where you did Mickey Rourke, Max Koch, and that's K-O-C-H, but pronounced Cook,
yeah,
correct?
It's the bane of my existence, that name. Well, the reason that's like that is because there's another Jeff Cook in SAG, and you can't have another dude's name if that's your name or whatever, if he's already taken it. So, my dad died before I was born, so I stuck with Cook because I'm the last Cook male, even though I'm not having kids. So it kind of is an interesting story with casting directors and stuff, because they're like, how is it pronounced, Koch? And then you can get into the whole story, and then you totally bum them out when you tell them that, you know, your dad died before you were born.
In other words, it's perfect for this show.
Well, my erection has now depleted.
Ah!
He turns me on with his wife's nipples, then tells us about his dad dying before he was born. Now, woo.
Yeah, the visualization helped me reach a half job.
You know what I love that my wife does? She'll do the laundry, and then she puts out what we call the panty rainbow at home, and you come home, and there's just a sea. I don't know if you guys are into underpants, but there's just a sea of beautiful lady underpants. Just the sun shining down on them through the window, and it's like the future is bright.
Well, what I'm impressed by is that you've been with your woman for 20 years.
Oh, yeah.
And you guys still have a sex life.
Yeah, I mean, it's not nearly as fruitful as it could be. And that's only because we're very, very busy, heady people. And, you know, she works a real job, so she's dealing with people, you know, 48 hours a week or whatever. So she comes home in the evenings. We are all about, I mean, we're seriously couch potatoes at night. You know, we just love to sit and laugh and make fun of shows or whatever. So by the time you want to go to, and not only that, she has to take a 45-minute bath before bedtime because she gets the jumping Jimmy legs. Okay, well, I'm already passed out by the time she's gotten into the sack. It's a whole thing, so.
But my girl, you know, I've been with my girlfriend now for 9 years, and our sex life pretty much vanished at probably about the 5-year mark.
Yeah.
It was just gone. I mean, you know, Chris, you was talking about term limits. I think Lisa gave me sex limits. She's like, after 5 years, we're done.
You know, I do remember, as inconceivable as it seems, even now and even then, I had a very attractive girl when I was about 17. She was
20. Here we go with 17 again.
17, this guy.
She was 21 years old, and I met her working. I worked after school at like a dishwasher in a nursing home, right? And she was the front desk receptionist. Very angelic, just blue eyes and just golden hair, you know, tresses, you know what I mean? With the curly kind of natural, really, really pretty girl. Mm. And just very liberal and a very, like, that Filipino body build that I like. You know what I mean? Like meaty, but still tight, not sloppy, you know?
Like an Asian Mexican.
And correct. And after a few months, though, I remember there'd be times when I go, okay, I'm out of school now and I can drive over there. But, you know, it seems like I got to drive over there. And I actually, before I knew it, there was sometimes when I would go, you know what, I got to pick up the dry cleaning instead. And here I was in my sexual prime, and there was still incidences of me going, I'll do it tomorrow.
No, you know? I know. You know, when I was first started working at the gym, I was in hindsight, I was a stud. I didn't appreciate it at the time, but I was getting laid a lot in my early 20s, working as a trainer at the gym. And I would oftentimes turn down MILFs and cougars calling me, hey, Sal, come over and have sex. I'd be like, nah, I got to hit chest tonight. Like, I literally would turn down sex.
Wow.
What the hell was I thinking?
And now I'm in the gym at night trying to keep it together so I can land a MILF or a cougar. Mm. So the irony.
Max, tell us about Bowler Hat Productions. What? How did they get that name?
Well, Stanley Kubrick's A Clockwork Orange is my all-time favorite film. I could probably, we don't have time now, but I could probably perform the whole 2 hours of it right here. And I have a big fat head, so hats never fit me well. And I love bowler hats. And my partner in crime, the counselor, a.k.a. Adam Shoulder, he had one custom made for me. So it fit my big fat head. So the first day we ever made a short film, he gives me the bowler hat. And I wore it, and we decided to call it Bowler Hat Productions from that. And the idea is that inside this hat is all this crazy crap going on. It's kind of like an underdeveloped idea that never really came to fruition. But we've been working on and off ever since. You know, I mean, he really doesn't have anything to do with the YouTube videos. But we made a great documentary together called Gramps Beneath the Surface, which I'm pretty proud of. And, you know, that's basically my drunk desert rat granddad who lives out in California City near Mojave.
I've gone skydiving there.
Are you serious?
Yes, they have skydiving there.
It's a wasteland though, isn't it? I mean, it really is one of those places that's like apocalyptic showdown. Like there's a lot of big giant rotted out
cars,
satellite dishes.
Just abandoned cars.
It's right by my grandparents' neighborhood.
And the reason they have skydiving there is that way if you just hit the ground, if you die, you hit the ground, they just leave you.
Yeah.
They just leave you there.
Well, we wanted to tell a story of a dying breed, the last of the Archie Bunkers, okay? This guy was in fights. This guy's talking about, well, my first wife had one arm and wore a cape. I mean, what? So he doesn't have a lot of old-timey photographs. So what I did is I illustrated the past, essentially. So if he gets into a fight, you see it drawn. You know, when he starts to cry and talk about my sister or whatever, you know, you see his emotions coming out of his chest. It's a really crazy flick that that I'd love more people to see. But
where can we see it?
Well, it's available on Amazon, so I hate to ask you to buy it, but it's on Amazon.com. It's called Gramps Beneath the Surface. Eventually, we want to try to get it just online, just to always have it there.
But, oh, it's not available on Netflix?
No, but that's another thing that we should probably try to do. I just don't know how to do these things. I don't know how to get a movie on Netflix. I mean, I'm so lost when it comes to that stuff, you know?
Max, let's go back to your head. I say I have a large head, and you know what? I have a 7 5/8. I wear a hat 7 5/8 inches. Is your head bigger than mine?
I think so, yeah. I think like I'm an 8 or 9.
I've never met anyone with a bigger head than me. Ever. I wear the largest hat. Friends will give me like a baseball cap for Christmas or something, and it's like a large. It'll be a large, will not fit me.
The irony is I have a debilitating self-esteem, so I mean, it's crazy. It's crazy.
Now, is that reflective of intelligence? That you have
I don't consider myself intelligent.
Are you in Mensa with that head?
I'm a dumb shit, man. It's just a lot of meat.
Hey, but before we move on, I did want to ask you two quick questions. I did watch the trailer for Gramps.
Yeah.
You're mid-40s?
No, I just turned 42.
Okay. And that film
was
made...
great job insulting
our
guest,
Chris. All right,
I'll
try to move on, everybody.
I'm fucking old, all right? I'm an old loser. What do you want from me?
You were 36 when the film was made then, roughly, right?
Yeah, yeah.
And this, your grandfather's how old? Because he seems incredibly spry.
He's
actually not my blood
granddad, but he's the closest thing I've really ever had. Listen, male figures in my life, it's always been a problem. But he just became my granddad because I met him when I was 11. He's really my grandma's boyfriend. She eventually married him. But he's such a crazy character that he just became this awesome male model for me, I guess.
And how did you approach him about, hey, Gramps, I want to make a documentary about the fact that you resemble Archie Bunker?
We brought cases and cases and cases of Coors Light and said, I just want to hear you talk about your life. We got that dude to go so deep, and we just filled him with beer. I mean, he's different now. The movie actually had a very profound effect on him because he actually saw himself for what he was at the time. Unfortunately, he's back to being very angry and very political. I mean, he spends all day watching Fox News. He's very, very Republican again, but whatever.
And he drank a lot of beer, and now you're drinking a beer. Tell us, Max, does alcoholism run in your family?
Yeah, actually, and I'm a wino, but I got very excited when I was offered a beer, And yeah, I mean, look, I definitely have had bouts where I'm like, I need to dry out here or I've got a real problem. Plus, I'm working on getting rid of a gut here. I was going to say a bit of a gut, but let's face it.
You would like to look your age.
Do I look older than 42?
Well, I don't know. Chris, does he?
Jesus, you guys.
I got to be honest with you, Sal. There was I was part of my excitement in meeting Max in person for the first time today was seeing what the hell this guy looks like. Because if you watch his videos, you honestly don't have a clue. I saw his headshot. You're a brunette in the headshot. But then,
I'm an old grandpappy now. I got salt and pepper. I'm graying like crazy.
And did you actually shave your head when you played Sergeant Dokes for Max Cush Channel's?
It's Cook.
God damn it, Cook!
Damn it, Chris!
Learn how to Mickey pronounce Rourke. Your guest's last name.
Round two.
Absolutely I did. I shaved it for Uncle Junior, and then I thought, I can do Uncle Junior and Dokes all in one week.
Yeah, I missed Dokes, too. He was killed, season two of Dexter? I missed Dokes.
I think it was three, was it? I don't remember.
I think that was the most, it was two, that is the most satisfying death in television history. Because he was so up Morgan's ass, man. You know what I mean? I couldn't wait to see him die, and I was... Like, I stood up and applauded in my living room by myself. That's how pleased I was when he got blown to pieces. But Max is an incredible impression, and Max is a Caucasian man, and yet somehow the mimicry of... one thing that's particularly weird is when you see somebody and you don't realize that they have unique mannerisms until somebody points them out, and that's definitely what you did with Dokes.
Let's get back to my age thing, though. How fucking old do I look to you? 50? Because I need to know this stuff, because I'm getting very vain as I get older.
I would say 46 or 47, but if you lost a few pounds and maybe got a haircut.
If you lost a few pounds and got a haircut, I'd look what, 40?
You would look like you deserve a wife with tremendous nipples. That's what you would look like.
Okay, so you're saying I'm fat, I'm old and gray looking, but do I look healthy? I don't look healthy.
Are you asking me or Chris?
I'm asking Chris. I mean, I'll ask the personal trainer next, but...
I think you look very... The term would be robust. Meaning like you look like you're full of life, actually. So it makes you look youthful because you feel
I'm
like...
I'm a fucking hedonist.
Yeah, you look like you're full of energy and life, which will expand your youth appearance.
I give you to 67.
And then I die?
Yeah.
That would be awesome.
Chris would like invite you to take the Oprah-endorsed real age test, where you can see what you really are biologically as opposed to chronologically.
Well, listen, I'm going back to the gym. I hate gyms. I don't like looking at naked dicks. I don't like smelling dudes' asses. Bally's has, you might know this, Sal, they were bought up by LA Fitness.
Yes.
So now I have an LA Fitness membership. But the one reason I never wanted to go to LA Fitness, because there's a beautiful facility right up on Cahuenga, is they took over the old Hanna-Barbera building. And I thought that was an insult. I thought that thing should have been made a national monument.
Who are your favorite Hanna-Barbera characters?
Me?
Yeah.
I love Yogi, and I love Huck Hound, and I don't like that, who's that gay panther?
Snagglepuss?
Yeah, I'm not really into
Exit, that. Stage right.
I love Droopy. Droopy's Hanna-Barbera, right?
Hello, all you happy people. I identified with Droopy. Droopy was my favorite, because you know what? Here, honestly, my two favorite cartoon characters growing up. Droopy Dog, Woody Woodpecker. Why? Because I'm manic depressive. When I'm manic, I'm Woody Woodpecker. When I'm depressive, I'm Droopy.
Oh, that's awesome.
Hey guys, I almost overlooked this here, but Max, you have a recurring role. So you have something currently on the air with the Kung Fu Panda Legends of Awesomeness. Is
yes.
that correct?
Yes. Oh, it's spectacular. It's the best job I've ever had. I get to go to Nickelodeon. I get to hang out with very dear friends, new friends who I met 3 years ago. It's so funny. You were talking about friends, like that you're down to no one. I think that sounds fantastic. I see myself going the full-on hermit route because I've spent my whole life being the lovable friend you can count on. But this job is so great. The show's on Nickelodeon. It's a big hit. And we're in the third season of recording now. And the second season is about to start airing again. And it's a kid show. And I play a little green insect. But let me tell you something. I have learned more from this job than anything. I have met more wonderful, creative people. I'm working with top-shelf margaritas. You know what I mean?
I think Chris imagines his fantasy job going to Nickelodeon every day and just bumping elbows with a bunch of teenage girls. Is that what it's like over there?
Teenage girls. Well, they come to visit and they wear the cute little badges and they giggle, and a lot of them are like from foreign groups or whatever. But
foreign teenage girls. Yeah. Chris has just fainted.
Kind.
He's just fainted.
And they disappear and no one comes to look for them.
Nobody looks for their bodies.
No, so you play a couple recurring roles, but occasionally you're offered a new character's introduced to the series, and they come to you and say, Max, make something up here.
Not so much, like, usually if it's a villain, they get a celebrity. But outside of Mantis, like, we'll just be sitting there, and all of a sudden, you'll come across Rhino Guard 2. All right, Max, you want to read Rhino Guard 2?
Oh, crap. So then I just start doing Gary Busey as a Rhino Guard. Boy, I'll tell you what, I'm a Rhino Guard. I'm going to put my horn in your ass.
And they're like, boom, perfect, Gary Busey Rhino. Well, the Gary Busey Rhino has actually come back a few times. Now he's a little bit recurring, you know. So it all depends on... But I've also laid turds in the studio where, like, I'll pull out a voice that just doesn't work. I did a
pig as Pacino. Come on. And he's a little pig.
And you'll see him in an episode, you know. And it's like there's knowing nods to my favorite guys that I channel on YouTube or whatever, but...
Here's the thing, though. Obviously, you're not the only impressionist. Is that the correct terminology? Mimic?
I don't even know. I don't know what I am, Chris.
Here in Hollywood, there's a lot of people who do voice work. Do you know Chris Edgerly?
No, I think I know the name, though.
He's a guy. He's from Orlando, where I started out, too. And the guy does like 100 voices. And he's done a lot of stuff, you know, subbing for Mike Myers. But the thing is, you take it to the next level in the fact that you replicate things well. I mean, with facial features and your posture and your mannerisms.
Yeah.
And when I saw that, this is no bullshit. When I saw the Mickey Rourke, if it wasn't so obvious that the mustache was fake, I literally sat there for a couple minutes going, is that Mickey Rourke?
You looked a lot like him and sounded so much like him.
And it was only when you tore the toilet paper off the roll that I said, okay, this is clearly a comedic endeavor.
Well, yeah, I was very lucky because I was actually asked to do the Mick on this late night talk show on Fox that I don't think is on anymore. So I was actually on a late night talk show in front of an audience doing Mickey Rourke. And that was me backstage killing time for 5 hours. So I brought my camera. I'm like, if I have a full makeup job here
and I can do the Mick, then I'm just going to sit here and do it. And I'm going to talk about my dogs and boxing.
Look, it's Bukowski all over the place in here because Mick played Bukowski in Barfly. I'm going to take a walk around these streets when we're done. But that was one of those awesome opportunities. I'm always looking for an opportunity to make a video if I can. But I'm making it much less these days because it's too much work and not enough.
But how the hell have you not blown up?
Oh, no one knows what to do with me. No one knows where to find me. You know, I've been told my whole life, oh, you're brilliant. You're a genius. Why don't you have your own show? Why don't you audition for SNL? Listen, I'm a self-sabotaging fuck. All I know how to do is this stuff. I don't know how to be the marketing guy. I don't know how to be the, hey, party guy. I'm going to go to the parties and work.
Here's my card.
slow death, that stuff. But now I'm starting to at least get, listen, a lot of it, and I don't mean to get preachy.
Preach it, brother.
A lot of it has to do with self-love, okay? And for years and years and years, I was a guy who beat the shit out of myself. So now I'm just getting at a point, just like we're talking, I'm an old, ugly, gray-haired fart.
I wouldn't say you're ugly. I wouldn't say.
It's time to pull it together, get back to the gym. You're getting a little more confidence. Listen, I've taken some hits in life. We won't go into that stuff. But those hits can bring you down where you just don't want to work anymore. But now I feel like I'm getting a bit of a spark back, a little fire.
He's making his comeback. Let me ask this question, Max. While we have you here, something I've thought about for a while. As a movie lover, I see the movie trailer and it says featuring the voice of Brad Pitt, featuring the voice of Cameron Diaz. And I'm thinking as a moviegoer, what do I give a shit?
Yeah.
I mean, does anybody know who did the voice for Snow White, what, in the 50s? Does anybody know who did the voice for Sleeping Beauty in the 50s? No, I IMDb'd these ladies and they were practically nobodies.
Yeah.
And yet today we're so obsessed with the voices of celebrities. I don't give a shit about the voices of celebrities. You think maybe celebrities are taking some of your voiceover work?
I do, you know, but I understand it's business. I mean, look, you drive by a bus stop, there's a cute bear, Brad Pitt as the cute bear. It's all fucking box office. Doesn't matter who the hell the cute bear is. You know, it is. It's frustrating, I got to tell you. But I can't, like, resent it because I'm not even there in a point in my career where I can resent it. I'm still just kind of – the fact that I got on this show, to me, is a miracle. Now, once I'm on 5 or 6 shows and I'm doing this all the time – you know, then
he'll never come back.
Yeah, then I may be a little less bitter about it, you know?
I'm just baffled because I have, like right in front of me, I have Tony Soprano Meets the Joker, another one of Max Cook's fantastic videos. And it has 260,080 views. Mm-hmm. And that's one of how many videos? Do you even know how many videos you have on YouTube?
I think we're pushing 160.
160 videos. Meanwhile, Angela Johnson comes along.
Who is that?
Angela Johnson is a cute comedian that hit the scene about 5 to 10 years ago and then just blew up because of one three, four-minute bit about getting her manicures done by some Vietnamese ladies.
And the writing is weak. The only really funny part about that is she does a dead-on accent for like a Vietnamese type
accent. A Vietnamese
accent.
Manicurist.
And it's supposed to be the manicurist kind of talking to her while she's giving her a manicure, but there's no jokes there. You can see the writing is entirely superficial. It's just a shelf for her to put the impression on. And yet somehow they launched her to stardom. They stuck her in movies. They rammed her down the public's throat, much as they've tried to do with Sarah Silverman for several years.
Now, have you seen, Angela Johnson?
Remember I did a show. She bumped me at a show a couple years ago and I didn't understand why.
Okay, I would like to have her ram down my throat.
Don't you mean you would like to ram down her throat?
Whatever. Me in her throat, her in my throat, whatever.
Sometimes Sal scares me and then he doesn't seem to understand how sex works.
I'm saying that she can fist my throat with her hand. She can put
open
on the
hand or closed hand.
Either one, man. Either one.
Figure out how to market a Max Cook. How do you market this malformed, misfit mistake of a man? You have to figure that out. I think once someone gets that, then we're a go. I think I should have a show. You got a couple sketches. I also love to interview. We have a musical guest. I mean, I know that's a boring format, but I would make it the trippiest, most messed up, most awesome midnight movie type experience.
Well, isn't that essentially what Jimmy Fallon does? I mean, because he gets a lot. What I like about him is he gets a lot more involved in the sketches and whatnot on his program.
He's up too late for me, but I'm going to start. I'll start recording him, DVRing him.
And Max, man, we've only scratched the surface of what this guy does. He also co-hosts a horror movie review podcast called The Cutting Room.
Yeah.
TheCuttingRoomPodcast.com. That's where you can find him. That broadcasts every 2 weeks. What exactly do you do on that podcast?
This is a lot of fun. These guys found me on YouTube. There's Tom Detloff and Joseph Cristiano. We have a new co-host, Jenna Payne. And we talk about horror films. And, you know, what's so funny about the show is horror fans, and this is on the Horror Palace Network as well, horrorpalace.com or whatever, but horror fans are so particular. They only want to talk about the scares. They only want to talk about the gore. What we do is we talk about the movies, but the psychological impacts of horror and how it affects our lives. And then we start to talk about things other than horror. And that's when people freak out. But basically, I'm assigned a horror film. Like, I have to watch an Italian horror film this weekend, okay? I watch it. I get so into it. Even no matter how bad it is, I'm taking 50,000 notes. And then I have to present a review on Monday night. And we do it all through Skype. And let me tell you something. A lot of people are listening to this thing. But what I'm excited about is... we're starting to up the ante on guests. We're starting to get, like, you guys remember Michael Berryman, the bald-headed dude from The Hills Have Eyes?
Yeah, the funny, he was also in Weird Science, wasn't
correct,
he?
Correct, correct. Yes. Word is he's coming down the pike, you know? I want to get into this guy. I mean, this is all, to me, very exciting because I'm a huge horror fanatic. I love The Darkness.
Then tell us what you thought of the recent Possession movie. What was it called?
No,
it was called Possession,
I
right?
I haven't seen that yet, I'm afraid.
Well, let me ask you this question then. How would Jack Nicholson review a horror movie?
Well, let me tell you. Paranormal Activity 5. It starts out in black and white, and then there's a shaky camera.
Hey.
Next thing you know, there's a lot of girls screaming. That's the part I liked. The girls screaming.
Hey.
So when you did The Joker, what was it? Who was it? The Joker meets who?
Tony Soprano
meets the Joker. That was Jack Nicholson's Joker, not Heath Ledger.
No, that was Heath Ledger's Joker.
Oh, you did Heath Ledger's Joker.
Yeah.
So you can do two different Jokers. You can do Jack Nicholson or Heath Ledger.
Yeah.
Which is your favorite to do?
Jack. I mean, I just love doing Jack because Jack's my favorite actor, and I've always done Jack. I've been doing Jack since I was 10. You know, I love him, and he hasn't made a movie since The Bucket List. No, actually, he made that other one with Reese Witherspoon, but...
Are you a Lakers fan by default?
You know, I used to love the Lakers, actually. I'm not a sports guy at all. And the only reason I love the Lakers is because I love to watch Jack. And the next thing you know, I started to get really into Laker games. And the last series I saw was Bulls-Lakers. Johnson-Jordan. That was the last time I saw the Lakers. But I'll always tune in and look at Jack on the sidelines.
Max, we got to end this interview because we got to have Sal. We have the one staple of our show, the one indispensable segment, and that's Sal's Weekly Rant.
But you know what I'd like to do, Chris? I'd like to breeze through and maybe have you guys chime in on it. So why don't you tell us who our sponsor is for Sal's Weekly Rant?
Okay, cool. Sounds good. Our sponsor this week is Party Planners Plus. Party Planners Plus is your premier party rental supplier in Santa Clarita and the surrounding areas. Take the worry out of event planning and add quality and style to your next event. Whether you're planning a wedding, graduation party, holiday party, birthday party, or any special occasion, Party Planners Plus is looking forward to becoming your one-stop rental source. And you can find them on the web at partyplannersplus.com or give them a call at 661-291-1222. That's 661-291-1222.
All right, great. Thank you, Chris. And Max, I'd love to hear you guys chime in on this. Basically, I hate gift cards. People, please just give me cash. Apparently, gift cards are the new cash, which gives us more cards to carry around. And don't we have enough shit in our wallets and purses already? I still have some gift cards with a balance of 48 cents. Now, American Express gift cards cost $4.95. Well, how about instead of getting an American Express gift card for $50 and paying $4.95 for it, you just give the person $54.95 instead? Gift cards get stolen all the time. There's no recourse. My girlfriend sent her parents several gift cards only to have them stolen somewhere between California and Montana. And apparently there's a way that thieves can use magnets to find gift cards within a pile of mail. Instead of sending someone four $25 gift cards, why not just send a check for $100? I still send checks on occasion for a birthday or graduation. Is this no longer acceptable? Should I have just sent a gift card? Aren't gift cards for lazy people or for those too busy or uncreative to shop? If that's the case, why bind the recipient to one store? So now the birthday person is forced to find something in the same store where you couldn't find a gift. How about all the plastic? More trash for landfills. There's probably landfills full of the Gap and Crate and Barrel gift cards. Would it be so terrible to ask someone for their bank account number and merely deposit money in there? Would that be too impersonal or thoughtless? Less thoughtless than a gift card? Why not just make things easy on the birthday person? Hand them cash. Who would complain about this? I was at a family's Christmas one year, my oldest brother's girlfriend's family, and the oldest son complained that each year their uncle showed up and just gave them a $100 bill. And he complained about this. I think he felt it was impersonal. I wish I had an uncle who ever gave me anything, cash or a gift card. How about an uncle who just showed up to anything? I was looking for graduation cards recently for my niece's graduation. Several came with little slots for placing a gift card. In small print, it said, insert gift card here. I wanted to send a check, but there was no graduation card with an insert check here slot. So I just bought a normal card with no slot and stuck the check in there. And the only reason I didn't give her cash was because I mailed the card. Had I seen her in person, I would have merely inserted cash into the slot. If I would have found a graduation card with an insert cash here slot, which I did not see. So people think gift cards are convenient, but they're actually inconvenient, clogging up our wallets and landfills. Please give cash or a check if you mail it. Or since it's the digital age, why not just put money in my PayPal account? My email address is ifeelfunnyproductions@yahoo.com, and Christmas is right around the corner. What do you guys say?
You know, Sai, you had some good points, and I do believe that the only objection to some of them is... can one adult really give another cash, or does that come off as maybe condescending? Let's say you make far more money than I do. You know, you give me this gift. Isn't there some possibility of me misconstruing it as charity rather than a gift? What if your donation doesn't match my donation? But I guess you could say that same thing about a gift.
Same thing about a gift card. Max, if it's your birthday, would you be adverse to receiving a $50 gift card or receiving a $50 cash donation?
Oh, cash would be extraordinary. As long as you put it in a little card and wrote a little personal note to me, and I wouldn't mind that. But listen, my grandma, she's out in the desert. She doesn't know what she's doing. She doesn't know anything about PayPal. I can't give my grandma cash, but I can passive-aggressively get her a gift card to, like, Michael's, that arts and crafts store. She got so excited with that gift card. It was like she's never gotten a gift in her life, a $50 gift card. She goes, I use my gift card again. I'm almost down off the balance. It has provided. So I think for old people who don't know how to use the internet, gift cards are good, but I can't see giving my grandma cash.
I will say this, Sal. Gifts seem to mean a hell of a lot more to women than they do to men.
Like, a guy would rather receive cash, a woman would rather receive a gift card.
Like for instance, if somebody came back and said, hey, you know, when I was overseas fighting in Iraq, I ripped this off a dead Iraqi, I just think it was the coolest thing ever. If you get, you know what I mean? What girl would ever, you know what I mean? Like, that's just not something you give a girl. And I think in Max's case, the fact that he selected a store that sold something that genuinely appealed to her probably meant far more than the actual value.
Oh, you guys, it was phone calls, emails to Gramps. Hey, what is she like? Where does she like? I don't know where she likes. Well, where do you go on Saturdays? And I found out, does Michael's have it? I was exhausted by the time I got this gift.
Isn't that funny that the person least likely to know what his wife wants is?
Hey, guys, we got to wrap it up. Listen, Max, tell us where our listeners can find you and learn more about you.
Oh, thank you. Go to Max Cook, KOCH, and thecounselor.com, or you can go to YouTube/ Bowler Hat, one word, check out videos, and then, you know, that'll, you know, find you to other links, Facebook and all that crap. But I really appreciate you boys talking to me, and I will work on my physicality.
Thank you, Max. Chris, where are you going to be appearing soon?
I'm out of good shows for the week. So actually, no, what am I talking about? I'm at the Ventura Harbor Comedy Festival. I'm doing the Clean Show tonight. It's at the Greek in the complex, right in the same complex as the actual Ventura Harbor Comedy Club.
Chris is a foul mouth. Chris is foul mouth on the air, but he is clean when he does comedy on stage.
I am. I have an old school. You know what I've been told? I have an old school style.
That's
a very jokey joke. Hopefully I'll be there when Leno finally retires, because it's about time. He's phoning it in.
And for me, I will be here once again on SkidRowStudios.com on Sunday, appearing as a guest commentator on the weekly wrap-up hosted by Ken August. That is this coming Sunday, 2 days from now. 4 p.m. Pacific Standard Time. Listen, we want to thank you for listening to Registered Ear Offenders. Say goodnight, Chris.
Good night.
Thanks for being with us, and thanks to our guest, Max Cook, for joining us and lending us his voices and his tremendous physique as well.
Yeah, dude.